Welcome to the ReHope Podcast. Before we dive into this week's message, we'd like to provide you with some helpful resources. If you'd like someone to pray for you, it would be our joy to connect with you. So please email us at prayer@rehope.co.uk. If you'd like to get connected with an online Bible read-through group from wherever you are in the world, you can email brt@rehope.co.uk and be a part of a small group of people reading through the Bible cover to cover each year. Finally, if you would like to support the work and ministry of ReHope financially, you can do so online at rehope.co.uk/giving. We pray you find this message encouraging, enlightening, and helpful. Enjoy.
Hey, family. It's good to see you all. Royston, shout out to Royston. Hope you're enjoying. Oh, man, there were some whoops in the room in case it didn't come through the microphone. That's great. Oh, it's good to be here. Let me start by blessing you as we get going today. I bless you all in the name of Jesus that you would know Jesus more wonderfully this morning. I bless you to receive healing if you need healing in your body, in your mind, in your emotions, in your spirits today. I bless you to receive whatever guidance from God you need, whatever help from God you need immediately. I bless you to have the courage and capacity to flourish and prevail over every challenge in your life right now, and I bless you to feel hope and joy and love and peace, whatever's going on. I bless you with that in the name of Jesus. May it be. Amen. Amen. All right, welcome back, everybody. We have Baptism Sunday, Palm Sunday in 2 weeks from now. Whoop, yay. Yeah, very excited about that. If you believe in Jesus and you've never been baptized before, run to your nearest lead pastor or staff person and say, dunk me, baby, it's time. Or something, maybe a holy version of that, something along those lines. We believe baptism is very important, and we give our lives to Jesus. We give our lives to following Jesus. Following Jesus means obeying Jesus, and that one of the very, very, very first things we do to show that we're following Jesus is to get baptized. So if that's where you're at, let people know, and let's do that in about 2 weeks from now. Very excited about that. But between here and there, we've got two Sundays where I get to talk about some stuff that's been burning on my mind to talk about for the last couple weeks, or months, actually. And both of these topics are found in the first chapter of Joshua. So let me read a few verses here in Joshua chapter 1, and then I'll tell you what we're going to be talking about this week and then again next week. Joshua 1. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, this whole passage is going to be helpful for us over the next couple weeks, but this week's message is, do not be afraid, and next week's message is, do not be discouraged. That's where we're going to go for the next, and by afraid, I mean, do not, all the faces of fear, like worry and anxiety and all those things, everyday worries, we're not going to be afraid. We're going to talk about that today. And the next week, all the faces of discouragement, maybe even leading up to depression, and the call to not be discouraged. When God's commissioning Joshua in this passage, he's basically summing up to Joshua and all of us how to live out our faith following God. And I find it interesting that Joshua is only warned against two dangers, just two things. Do not be afraid, and do not be discouraged. We're going to talk about discouragement next week, but for this week, I want you to hear that fears and worries and anxieties are of the most dangerous threats to us in our following God well. And they're one of the most destructive things when it comes to our fruitfulness as believers in Jesus, robbing us of so much potential and impact that we could have following Jesus. As we know, Jesus says so much. He talks so much about worry and fear and anxiety in the Gospels. One of his regular teachings to people who wanted to know about the kingdom of God, what it was like to live in the kingdom of God, what it was like to follow Jesus, one of his regular teachings was to not worry. To not worry. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has the crowds around him and he's telling people, this is what it takes to live in the kingdom of God. This is what to do. And in Matthew chapter 6, we read Jesus says this. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Four just quick notes on this. We're not going to linger here. Don't worry about everyday life. Not just talking about the big thing, just the everyday things. Don't worry. Don't worry about everyday life. Number two, God certainly will care about you because you're valuable to him. God certainly cares about you. You're valuable to him. Jesus is like, don't you believe your value? This is a faith issue. Why do you have such little faith? Don't you believe your value? Okay, let me just ask you this way. Do you believe that you are valuable to God? Do you believe that you are valuable to God? If you don't believe you're valuable to God, that is going to make it difficult for you to trust him in all the things. But if you are valuable, if you do perceive that you're valuable to God, like the Bible says, then that should make trusting God easier and worry less likely. Thirdly, people who do not believe in God, those are the people who worry about everyday things. Most unbelievers, they don't believe in God. They worry about everyday things. But our testimony comes from our emotions. Our emotions. Our testimony is that we believe in God. That is connected to not worrying about the things that everybody worries about. By not worrying, not being anxious, because we believe that God cares for us and is watching over us. And then finally, don't worry about tomorrow, one day at a time. In fact, I even think my wife said that to me this morning as I'm walking up. One day at a time, Brian. One day at a time. Okay, so Jesus is teaching about worrying. One more teaching of Jesus. It's in one of his parables in Matthew 13. And he's talking about the parable of the sower, and there's different soils, and there's the seed that goes on the path, which is the word of God on the path, and then there's rocks, and finally there's great soil. But the third one says this in Matthew 13:22. Jesus is talking, he says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. I'll just say that again. All too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. That's the danger. No fruit is produced. Friends, worry is dangerous. Worry is dangerous when it comes to your walk with Jesus. And it's incredibly dangerous in your ability to be fruitful as a believer in this generation with your testimony. Because worry chokes you, keeping you from the impact that you would otherwise be able to make. And yet we think our fears and we think our worries and we think our anxieties are just normal. That's just how people are. That's just life stuff, right? Maybe it's annoying that we feel them from time to time, but we hardly even think about it much. But friends, fears and worries and anxieties are dangerous. They're dangerous to followers of Jesus. They're destructive to our testimony, and we need to deal with them, and we can. And we can deal with them. And we can. If you're new here or visiting, I'll give you my brief bio, which basically everybody around here knows. It's no secret. I talk about it all the time. But I have a stronger than normal propensity towards worry, anxiety, fear, panic, and all those things. My grandfather on my mother's side was a wonderful, amazing, one of my favorite human beings of all time. Also a notorious worrier. I seem to have inherited that natural ungodly propensity, and you're welcome, right? Thank you, Grandpa. Anyways, but you know, I see this in lots of different areas of my life. In high school, I loved sports, but my mother tells me that I found them too stressful, and so I had to be on medication in order to be in sports, anti-anxiety medication to get through high school sports. I mean, wow, right? But not only that, even with that medication, I nearly got an ulcer. My stomach lining was burning out. Even on medication, I just, whoa. Yikes. Somewhere around 18 or so, I started the stress as it was getting to me would start to, I would vomit. I just started vomiting, and then that ultimately turned into panic attacks. It's awful. It feels just like that. And the panic attacks, traveling overnight somewhere, we've talked about this. After high school, I went off of anxiety medication, but then I had to go back on them in some big life moments like buying a house, having first kids, and things like that. And it was just one of those things. I just struggled to deal with the pressures of life, and especially those big moments. Then God called me to quit my job in Seattle and move to Scotland. And yes, there was vomiting with that. And then I became a missionary, and for many years that meant I got to go to missionary conferences in different places around the world. I can't even tell you how many countries I've had panic attacks and vomited in. I mean, I've got a long list. I mean, I remember Portugal was pretty cool because in Portugal at the missionary conference, I was able to drag my mattress into the bathroom, and so that was so nice. I was like, wow, what a special thing there. And then in Chiang Mai, it was 3 nights of panic attacks, stuff like that, and it was in the most posh bathroom I've ever had. And I'm like, what a gift, right? What a special, special time. It's having a nice, what a treat. I've also told you, I mean, about being delivered of demons of fear, connected to ministry, and stuff like that. So, what I'm talking about today, when I'm talking about fear and worry and anxieties, I'm not judging anybody. I'm not judging anybody. I am coming as one who knows what it's like to have those feelings of fear, worry, and anxiety. Some of you do not have it as bad as I do. Others of you have it much worse than I do, potentially. But what matters is we all need to be intentional. We all need to be intentional about our fears and worries and anxieties to get rid of them, to be done with them, to not let them dominate, to not let them run our lives. In the words of Jesus to his disciples, when they were worried about, is heaven real? He was like, do not let your heart be troubled. You know, believe God. Like, do not let it. And I remember like, wait, we don't have to let our heart be troubled. We don't have to let that be the case. Now, I might have a pretty rough starting point in all this, but maybe because I do have a rough starting point, I have really come to understand two things.
I've come to understand how important it is, according to the words of Joshua 1:9, to not be afraid. And secondly, how to intentionally and successfully, how to intentionally and successfully come against those fears and not have them, not be dominated by anxieties and worries. So I'm saying, do not for 1 second believe that you are a helpless victim to anxiety. Don't believe it. Don't believe that you're a helpless victim to whatever's going on in your life, to be worried because this, or worried or anxious because of that, or afraid because of this or that. You are commanded, we are commanded to not be afraid. Unbelievers are that way. We're not to be afraid. And God gives us everything we need. He gives us everything we need to overcome these powerful feelings. If worry and stress and fears have been dominating your heart and minds, if you've been losing sleep over things, if you have become indecisive or stuck because of pressures going on, or maybe frustrated and angry because of all this stress, listen up as I teach you how to break the grip and the domination of anxiety and worry and fears so that you can live strong and you can live courageous and you can live fruitful as you follow Jesus. Strong and very courageous, fruitful. Okay, here we go. Four things. How to expel fear from your life. Number one, believe what the Bible says about God and His thoughts about you. Remember what it said in Joshua chapter 1? Joshua chapter 1, God doesn't just command Joshua to not be afraid. He first tells him how he's going to be able to live this out. And in verse 8, it said, study this book of instruction. That's the code word for the Bible. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to do everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Continual studying of the Bible, continually thinking about it day and night is one of the ways that you're going to be able to live out the command of God and the encouragement of God to not be afraid. My 1 hour Jesus time in the mornings, it's the single most strategic element of my life's rhythms. It is crucial for me. I had to do a lot on Thursday this last week, and so I was up at 5 a.m., which is not normal for me, to make sure I got my 1 hour in with Jesus before I had to dive into the early start of that day. But I've just come to learn, like, it cannot be missed for me, especially with someone with such a propensity towards anxiety. I wanted to make sure I had my Jesus time to set my right. Reading the Bible over and over again, studying it, thinking about it. Sometimes it just seems like maybe it's not necessary today. Maybe I can just let it go today. But what I realize is it's the small everyday things. It's the small everyday things that stack up to victories in our everyday anxieties. It's the everyday things that don't seem as important that stack up to the everyday victory. When we read our Bibles, man, we see that God can do anything. When we read our Bibles, we see that God cares about us, that He's actively at work in the world today, that He either helps people or He thwarts people from success, who generally helps people who are walking in obedience with Him. We read what the Bible says about God and how He feels about it. We read, you know, this idea of He cares for us, and we're like, okay, Brian, do you believe God cares for you? I do. Why? Because I read the Bible and I believe it. I choose to believe it. I don't just read it, I think about it, meditate on it, and I choose to believe it. If you don't believe that God cares for you or helps you, I don't know how you're going to make much progress in overcoming the worries and the fears and the stresses. Because we're called to put these to death. And we do that by saturating ourselves in the truth of the Word of God, the perspective of the Bible, and running after His kingdom first, His stuff first, not worrying about the everyday things. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is pursue God's favor through obedience. Pursue God's favor through obedience. Again, back to Joshua 1, verse 7, said, "Be strong and very courageous, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them," turning either to the right or to the left. "Then you will be successful in everything you do." Everyday obedience. Everyday obedience is so important to overcoming anxieties and fears because everyday obedience cultivates God's everyday favor. Everyday obedience cultivates God's everyday favor, and it's the everyday favor of God which can give us so much peace, the favor where we know that God is with us, that God is helping us, that God will see us through. Now, this isn't true for all Christians. Disobedient Christians can be under the discipline of God. God loves them. He's disciplining them. They don't have His favor. They don't have His help in certain situations because God's disciplining them. And so then they don't have joy and the peace that they could have if they were enjoying God's favor over their situations. Disobedient Christians don't get to enjoy this. Again, before God gives the command to not be afraid, He tells them obedience, not veering from the right or the left, is how we will be people who receive God's help and His favor, which will look like success in everything we do. Joshua does not always experience success. He runs into trouble at Ai, and that failure was because of disobedience. It was because of disobedience in God's people. And so whenever I am not feeling the favor of God, the help of God, the confidence that God is with me and helping me, I'm going to go back and ask the Holy Spirit and spend time thinking about this thing, these two things. Number one, am I walking in disobedience? Am I walking in disobedience and thus not having the help and favor of God? Or number two, am I trying to go a direction right now, maybe even ignorantly, that God doesn't want me to go in? And so I'm hitting resistance because I'm just not knowing where He's wanting me to go and running that direction. Like, I know what it's like to have God's favor and His help, and I know what it's like to not have that. And the reason why this is so important when dealing with our fears and our worries and anxieties on everyday life is, well, the more you read about what God is like, the more you read about how much He cares for you and how much He helps and willing to help you as you're walking in His ways, the more that you see that your life and your experience and God's help in your life time after time, the more it raises your trust levels. You know, the next time you're in a stressful situation, if you look back and you see that God has been helping you in the last 10 situations, you're more confident that He's going to help you in this situation. There's been trust building as you see what it's like to have God's help and His favor, which is also peace building in our lives and our situations. So we pursue God's favor through obedience. It's huge for helping us overcome fear. It's a big tool for that. Number three. Win the spiritual war over your heart and your mind every day. Now, I have some natural fears, or things that I would classify as natural fears, and I have some fears that I know come from spiritual sources. The Bible talks about spirits of fear, evil spirits of fear that harass, oppress, and I've experienced that personally, as I've talked about many times. Now, I know that many of the anxieties and worries I have spiritual aspects to them, but maybe a couple of them are natural. Natural ones, for instance, I have a natural fear of heights, right? Maybe I'm not alone in this one. And because I have a fear of heights, I hate. Now, I know it's a strong word, so maybe I'm not softening it. I hate those stupid high ropes courses. I mean, awful. They're designed to torment us. You know that, right? They're intentionally designed to freak us out. And I get up there, and my legs feel all wobbly, and they don't do what my head is telling them to do, and my body feels all shaky, and my mind feels all hazy, and my heart gets all poundy, and it's awful. It's awful. Why do we do that? I have a natural fear of heights, and yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's crossed the line, but I definitely have a natural fear of heights. I have other from all the time, whether it's when it comes to pre-thing. Like just worry. Let's get stressed, right? About everything. And I talk about all the time how, like, on message writing days or on stressful days or on Sundays or whatever, I start off in the morning, and I started off this morning before, like, I'm walking to the kitchen, I'm getting ready to make myself some coffee, and I am already saying out loud early in the morning before 6 a.m., spirits of fear, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, get out of my life. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Like, I forbid you from harassing me. I forbid you from messing with me today. I forbid you from robbing any joy. I forbid you from harassing my life in any way. Any and every spirit of fear, get out of my life. Get away from me now, immediately, and forever in Jesus' name. So I'm just going after it. I'm going after it. And then after that, I make sure I deal with any natural worries or anything about the day ahead. And I put my hand on my chest and I say, heart, be calm. Be calm. Be calm in the name of Jesus. Mind, trust Jesus today. Don't overthink this. Just trust Jesus. Stop worrying. Start trusting. Be at peace, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Be calm. I just command myself to be calm and to trust Jesus. That's how I set out to win the war of my mind every day with spiritually and just speaking to myself. Friends, that doesn't just happen naturally. It takes intentionality. It takes intentionality. It takes intentionality every day. And as a person who's highly susceptible to that sort of anxiety, I testify to you that these habits of mine are game changers, and I do this stuff with great result, with great impact. And sometimes I'll be in the middle of a day, and you know, I know my own symptoms when worry is or anxieties are creeping up. I tend to get frustrated, annoyed, things like that. Different people have different symptoms. I don't know what your symptoms are. Some people is like they kind of shut down. They just need to. They just feel like they're overwhelmed or they can't make decisions or whatever. Like everybody has different symptoms when worry starts to really escalate or stress starts to escalate. When you recognize those things, I'm telling you, step away, reset. Rewin that war in your mind and your heart. 5 minutes can save your day. 5 minutes can save your day. No, just throwing that out there. Okay, so that's number three. Fourthly, keep seeking God's direction pertaining to your circumstances and decisions. Bible read-through group, last week we were in 1 Samuel, and if you're not in a Bible read-through group, run, don't walk to your nearest staff person. Like, sign me up. All right. 1 Samuel, we were reading. And remember at the end of 1 Samuel how David was returning, being with the Philistines. He returns to his hometown, Ziklag, at the time. And everything's gone. All their money is gone. All their accumulated wealth and success and goats and sheep and stuffs and kids and spouses, they're all gone. And they're probably gone forever, off into slavery or whatever the case may be. And they're devastated, and it says that David and his men, they wept until they could weep no more. Like it was devastating for them. And then the people were also talking about stoning David. They're quite upset at David. So what did David do in that intense moment, stressful moment? It says he found strength in the Lord his God. And how did he do that? Well, it says he went and he went to the Lord and he found out from God what God's direction was going to be for this situation and if God would help him in that crisis. And the answer to that is yes. David, you go and you go after these people. I will help you find them. You will be successful. You will retreat. There's something very strengthening when we know what God's told us to do. Or we know that we're on his path, and that when we know that he will help us, that's so huge from getting us to a bad place emotionally, a freak out place emotionally, as if it's all up to us. No, I'm on God's path. It's up to God to get me through this path. I mean, I've wasted so many years not learning this, at least in the early years, of being stressed out and missing the joy of knowing that I'm walking God's path, but not enjoying it because I'm stressed or worried or anxious each bit of the way. I didn't need to be that way. I missed so many of God's best, these amazing God moments in my life. I missed so many of them with worry. I miss enjoying them because of anxieties. But, you know, I'm vomiting moving to Scotland, and what was in front of me? Well, at least this. It's not the worst. You know? But I was, like, freaking out about it. Or like, you know, at different times in the old days, the church is stuck forever. We'll never have a view. Oh, here's a building. Here's four. You know? I mean, it's just the things that just seem like, oh, we're never going to... stress or things. You know what Jesus said? Remember what Jesus said to Martha? Jesus says to Martha, he says in Luke chapter 10, Jesus says, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details." I'll say that again. "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." And that's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. For those of you who are feeling worried and stressed about whatever's going on in life, let's say work. Are you worried about work? You're anxious about stuff going at work? Stop. Just stop. Stop being worried and anxious about what. Work hard. Work through these steps. Learn how to get on top of that sort of thing. But stop being worried. Learn how to find peace in these exact same challenges. You can. Trusting God feels like peace, and it opens a path of joy, which you can have even in these situations, work situations. Or if you're a student and you're studying and you've got exams coming up, I'm not trying to trigger anybody, but like I am, maybe I am. You've got exams coming up. You got papers to write. You got okay. Work hard. Be diligent. And I implore you to keep getting the Jesus stuff right. Don't neglect your Jesus times because you're stressed about all these studying. Don't neglect gathering to worship Jesus. You want Jesus' help and favor. Don't neglect him during this time. I'm telling you, 4 hours of blessed study with the favor of Jesus is so much better than 10 without it. Like, just get the Jesus stuff right. Don't be afraid. For those of you who are stressed about big life moments, just check in. God, am I on your track? Are you going to help me on this journey? If so, I will trust you. I'm just not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be worried. And then, I mean, so much of life, everyday stresses. The things that we think about, we worry about, they rob some joy, like the small things. Does it bother anybody that I have a mark on my sweater today? No, I said that at Southside, man, people were looking so hard for it. I saw him like leaning. I'm like, you don't have to look this hard. It's fine. It's right here. I know where it is. I got dressed in the dark and I didn't notice it. And I got to Southside. I'm like, I've got a mark on my sweater. It's going to ruin my day. Everybody's going to judge me and freak out. No, I didn't feel like that at all. I'm like, what a great example of the kinds of things that can mess us up. That can rub our grace. Small things. Oh, I woke up with a line on my face. Oh, I woke up with a spot. Oh, I put on 3 pounds because I was having such a great time. And, oh, awful. Man, we just let the little things wreck us needlessly. Don't let it get to you. Just don't let it get to you. Don't let it get to you. I mean, when we get on top of ourselves with these things, though, when we're not afraid, when we're not worried, when we're not anxious, when we're not stressed because we're trusting Jesus and because we're choosing not to be worried about all these things, when we're not freaking out, it makes an impact on people. Because unbelievers, they freak out about all these things. We don't. And then they look at you and they think, how? How? How can you have peace with all this going on? How can you have peace with all this unknown? How can you have peace when all this stressful stuff is going on and you can look at them and you can answer them and you can say, because I know Jesus is real. And because I know Jesus cares about me. And because I know that I have his favor and his help and he will help me through this moment, I know that I'm on his path. And so I don't need to be stressed or worried or anxious because God is with me and God will help me.
Boom. Testimony. Testimony. Powerful testimony. That's how it's supposed to be. And we can all do this. We can all do this. We can all live the command of God to Joshua, as we see in Joshua 1:9. This is my command, it said. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Simple challenge. Do not be afraid. Done. Do not be afraid. You're like, that seems a little strong. No, it's just, it's good. There's some steps up there that can help you in that process, but that's the mission. Do not be afraid. So we're going to do a prayer time here. I'm going to walk you through it. And the first thing we're going to do is have a moment of silence where you're going to think to yourself, what am I worried about these days? And then we're going to pray that through. You don't have to pray these prayers. There's 3 prayers, though, that I'm going to guide you in praying. I'm going to say them about 3 times. And you can decide if you want to pray them out loud with me or not, or just however you want to do that. What are you worried about today? Prayer number 1, Jesus, I choose to trust you about this. Prayer number 2, any and all spirits of fear, get out of my life immediately in the name of Jesus. And number 3, in the name of Jesus, heart, be calm. Be calm. Be at peace. And then I'll pray for you. Okay, in this moment, just have a heart search moment, a mind search moment. What are you anxious about? What are you worried about these days? If anything. What's robbing your peace? What's robbing your joy? Here's the prayer, optional prayer. Jesus, I choose to trust you about this. Jesus, I choose to trust you about this. Jesus, I choose to trust you about this. Any and all spirits of fear, get out of my life immediately in the name of Jesus. Any and all spirits of fear, get out of my life immediately in the name of Jesus. Any and all spirits of fear, get out of my life immediately in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Brian, fill in your name here. Be calm. Be at peace. In the name of Jesus, Brian, be calm.
be at peace. In the name of Jesus, be calm. Be at peace. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. We thank you that you give us your peace, pour out your peace and joy as we choose to trust you in all of our circumstances. We choose to trust you in our circumstances. Fill us with your peace and joy. Bless us with your favor and goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.